Hey, Coach PBJ. I am Paula Birch Jackson, and I am super, super excited on today to let you know that I have decided to relaunch my podcast, This Game Called Life, a mindset makeover with Coach PBJ. Now, I was doing my podcast faithfully for one point, and then, oh my God, I stopped because life began to life. And let me tell you, the biggest thing that I did that knocked me off track was start listening to outside noises. People telling me what I should be doing. Didn't like the name, This Game Called Life. So I began to question myself. I began to doubt myself. And I began to lose my confidence. Start second guessing myself. And then the more I did that, the worse it got. The more I thought about it, the more it happened. I kept rethinking what God had told me to do. And so it began to become overwhelming. I would show up every now and then and do a little video here and there. But when I tell you, just getting up the courage to do those videos, baby, the challenge was real. So as I'm going through this journey, I shared a video that I was watching a reel of this little girl running from her shadow. And as I'm watching the shadow, I get this revelation that this little girl is symbolic of all of us people, human beings, that we all have shadows in our lives. The darker side of us that we don't want to share with the world. The darker side of us that we want to suppress and pretend like it's not there. And I shared on this video that one of my shadows that I struggled with was anger. And I talked about how I had a couple of outbursts with people and went from zeros to 100. And then I began to ask myself the question, girl, why are you acting like that? Why are you showing up like that? Why did you interpret that way? Why did you hear it that way? And so as I began to do what I now call the shadow work, stuff just began to just unravel. And I had to, like I said, really just do the work for myself. And so I began to pray, okay, God, how did I get here? And a few weeks ago, maybe about 6 weeks ago, I had a revelation to share my prayers. And I began to pray morning and night and type them up and type my prayers out and share them on social media and got a lot of great feedback. Grateful to know that those prayers were really helping people. And so a lot of days people would share with me that I was talking to them, that prayer was for them. And I'm glad that you were able to benefit from it. But baby, those prayers were for me. And I am continuing to pray. But again, my assignment was just for 30 days. And I was faithful to the 30-day morning and night prayer. And I'm so glad I did, because during that prayer time, that intentional prayer time, I got a lot of downloads, a lot of revelations, a lot of skills began to fall off of my eyes, and I began to see myself and see myself falling into places and situations that I had no business being. But I was in such a vulnerable and dark place, this place of self-doubt, this place of limiting beliefs, this place of fear, this place of hurt, these places of shame and insecurity, that I began to think and to feel as if I was not enough. And like I said, the self-doubt was real. And so I had to pause and really start asking myself, Paula, why is it that you continue to look outside of yourself when everything that you need, God has already placed inside of yourself? I remember several years ago, 2011, I was going through a really, really dark place at my job at that time with CDC, where some people had schemed. They had came up with a whole story, a whole lie to get me out of my job. Well, thank God it didn't work. Their plan did not work. As a matter of fact, their plan backfired. But that place, it had me in a place of like, what? Because sometimes you're just trying to do the best you can. You're trying to survive in this game called life, and people coming at you without a reason. This is right not long after I lost my husband. I'm a single mama, and y'all trying to get me fired, moved out of my position. But why? Whew. But I got a phone call from this guy, Eddie Sheffield, and he says, "Woman of God, you have forgotten who you are." And so that came back to me over these last 30 days. That happened in 2011. But this came, that whole conversation came back to me recently. Woman of God, you have forgotten who you are. And so I had to tap into that holy of holy place, should you say. Get on my face and just start saying, "God, what is going on?" And that really required some self-reflection. It required me to look inside of myself to find out, Paula, what is really going on with you? Asking myself the questions, why? Why did you think that thought? Why did you interpret that situation that way? Why did you give that meaning to that situation? Because you do understand, we give meaning to the things that happens in our lives. We give meanings to the experiences that we have. And we have to ask ourselves, why did I decide to think a negative thought? Why did I look for the good? After all, Philippians says, think on these things, what sort of thing is good, lovely, of good report. Why am I always thinking on stuff that you know ain't true? Negative. That's not bringing you joy. That's not bringing you happiness. Why are you stuck on that? And now you've been over in that place so long, now you're doubting yourself. Now you're not believing yourself. And that's where I actually found myself. And so I will continue to do posts, and I will continue every now and then to show up on the video. But I really just had to do the work, and I just did not know how much work I needed to do. So when I was watching the video of this little girl running and chasing her shadows, God revealed to me that we all have shadows. We all have dark sides. We all have those parts of ourselves that we suppress. Those parts of us that the world has made to believe that we should not have those emotions. For example, anger. And I remember being angry as a child. You know, what? You better not tell my mama you angry. You better not fall out on that floor, because she's going to get your tail. Where you fall out at, mama says she's going to get you at. And so rather than learning how to deal with my anger, because we have a right to feel how we feel, but we have to learn how to mitigate it, how to work through it and not let it take us out. The Bible even says, be angry, but sin not. So for the last few weeks, I'm like, I know what my shadow is. My shadow is rooted in anger. My shadow is rooted in anger. And so I believe that. Until this past week, as a matter of fact, 2 days ago, Monday, I went to Punta Cana a week ago with my son and his wife and their friends, grandbaby, my daughter, and we was hanging out there for about six, seven days, and it was so refreshing to be sitting by that beautiful blue water and that sand in the sun and just really breathing and doing some meditative work and doing some introspective work, looking at myself and seeing why and evaluating why I thought the way I thought, why I was showing up in the world the way I am, and not even to outside people because everybody else don't see what's going on, but why was I showing up the way I was showing up for me? And I wasn't. And so again, the self-doubt, the struggle was real, and it was very, very costly. Only to, in all honesty, a lot of the things I embarked in, because I'm reaching outside of myself for help, I'm getting different coaches, I'm getting different therapies, I'm doing all of this stuff, looking for answers that God had already placed inside of me. Thank God for my therapist, Miss Washington, because she definitely helped me to really think through some of my thought patterns and to deal with some of the stuff that I was dealing with. And so as I'm going through this process, I was on the beach and I'm reading a book called The Power of the Subconscious Mind. And so the book is really, really good. And I say this, I always say, what you think about, you bring about. The Bible even says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so as you're meditating on that subconscious mind, the stuff that we're feeding our subconscious mind is showing up in our life. Our subconscious mind don't know how to tell when you're playing, when you're fake, but whatever you're constantly feeding yourself is going to show up in your life one way or the other. And so the Bible says that the power of life and death is in your tongue. And so we have to be careful what we say. We have to be careful what we think, because those things become our reality. And so the book kind of confirms that idea, that our thoughts control our outcomes, that we are creating the experiences that we're having based on how we're thinking, based on what we're saying. of the words that comes out of my mouth. So I'm doing the work, as God's revealed to me. Why do I keep finding myself falling into these little low places? And he began to help me chase those shadows. And I had a massage on Monday. And when I go into the spa, the young lady who greeted me, she asked me to pick a design off the wall. And so when I was there, I kind of picked two. And so I'm going with this one. And then she was like, it's like she got an oomph in her spirit, because she's like, she was getting ready to unfold it. And she did like that. And then she says, "Are you sure of that one?" I said, "You know what? No, let's go with that one." And I changed it to the other one. And then this lady, she don't know me. First time ever seeing her, had not even seen her on the island. At the resort. That was my first time seeing her when I went to get the spa. So she says, "This one is more for you. I think this one is more for you." You don't know me, girl. But I flipped the thing over, and the word that was on there was bitterness. And then it had an explanation of how bitterness shows up in your life and what it does when it's left undealt with. And she says, "Yeah." And I was like, never would have thought that I was bitter. Never would have thought that I had some bitterness in my heart. But as soon as she said it, it resonated with me. It was like, you see, anger was the root, but bitterness is the seed. And out of bitterness flows several other shadows of branches that, if left unchecked, they begin to cause you to be something other than who you really are. And you're no longer showing up as your authentic self. And anytime we're not living out our truth, it began to cause us to feel the way I had been feeling these last few months. Self-doubting myself, insecure, running from my shadows, running from myself. And to convince myself that I was okay, like I said, I would show up every now and then, do a post. I'd show up and I'd do a live video. But on the inside, I was really struggling sometimes just to get out of the bed. So this past week, going to Punta Cana was a game changer for me. Sitting on that beach, allowing myself to just take in all of nature and just to really reflect and look at Paula. And that is something that I do well, looking at myself, owning my own stuff. But that was a dark spot that I did not see, and that was bitterness. And so I'm going to pull up what that definition was that I got. Because after the lady gave me that whole revelation, I decided to go back to my room and just really focus on bitterness and start doing some research on bitterness. And so the definitions from bitterness, it says bitterness is a shadow that can silently grow within us, stemming from unresolved pain, betrayal, or disappointment. It can darken our hearts and affect our outlook on life, relationships, and our own self-worth. That's where I was, y'all. The definition of bitterness is a deep-seated resentment and lingering anger towards a person, a situation, or even yourself. It often arises from unmet expectations, perceived injustices, or continuous emotional pain. And so there you have it. My shadow is bitterness. And out of the bitterness, anger flows. Out of the bitterness, fear flows. Out of the bitterness, insecurity flows. Yeah. And so I had to really process that. But I mean, as soon as I got that revelation, I literally felt like a weight lifted, because now I know which shadow to chase. So I'm chasing the shadow of bitterness. And so when you're doing shadow work, it requires you to do journaling. And so I've been journaling. It's a long road to my recovery from this bitterness, because when I tell you, it goes all the way back to some stories that I've talked about my whole entire life. And I will say that I'm okay. I even had conversations. For example, I shared this one. Growing up, I was loved making A's. So I was a straight A student. And I remember grade school now, running home one day with my report card, because I'd always be so happy to share my report card. And that report card, I made all A's. And when I handed it to my mom, she says, that's good. Then my older sister came home. Now, I used to get on her nerve because I'm ready to share my report card, and she really don't want mama to know we got report cards that day. And so mom asked for her report card, and she did not do so well, her not do so good, but she did manage to get one A. And I remember my mom making a huge big deal out of my sister's 1A. Now, in my grade school mind, I didn't understand that. How are we going to celebrate? Because we even got to go out to dinner. She took us out to eat to celebrate my sister's 1A. And it didn't make sense. I couldn't process that. I couldn't wrap my brain around why we celebrate her 1 when I got 6. It didn't make sense to me then. And so my feeling was hurt. I was devastated. So the next day, seeking that validation that my sister got, I went to school and I decided that I was going to get an F. I wasn't going to do no work. I didn't. I was acting up in class, something that I've never done, because I wanted a bad grade. It was the next day, y'all. And so the teacher, realizing that that's not me and something was going on, she wrote a deficiency and she sent me home. Y'all know what a deficiency, they're just like parents, no, this girl tripping, she ain't doing her work, she ain't behaving, to pull the parents in right away before the issue becomes a big one. And so I remember running home with that little deficiency in my head. I was so excited. I don't know why. So when I got there, I said, hey, mom, look. And mom read the deficiency and she says, gal, you know better. And that was it. And I remember going into my closet in my room and I cried like a baby. But then I made up my mind. I don't care. I like getting A's. So at that point, I decided I'm not getting an A for my mom. I'm getting an A for myself. So I went back to getting my good grades. But the sting of that experience remained. And I'm talking well into my 40s. I am 58, still telling this story, but from a different vantage point now. So I remember around 40, I went to my mom and I explained to her how that hurt me and how I had all this anger, which was really bitterness, in my heart because of that situation. And my mom says, well, what did you want me to do? Spank you? You wanted a whipping? Of course I didn't want a whipping. I wanted that validation. I wanted that attention. I was a child. And so my mom explained to me that her method of operation back then was to give as much positive affirmation to my older sister, because she felt like she needed it. And she felt like I was self-sufficient, that I didn't need it. And so she apologized, because that was not her intent. And of course, being a parent now, I do understand that. And so you have to make conscious decisions to do something differently, or to make sure that if whatever your parenting style is, just make sure that you don't overlook the one that's self-sufficient. And so I was glad that we had that conversation and I was able to move past that. So again, when I tell the story, I tell it a little different. But even on this weekend, I realized that was still a little bitterness in my heart that I had to let go. And so I ain't tripping about that no more. But that's an example of how we were trained to how we build up these shadows, because we carry stuff for years and years and years. And it wasn't until I was in my 40s that I decided to have that conversation with my mom. So what are the causes of bitterness? It is unresolved hurt. we have these past wounds, like the example I just gave you, that have not been properly addressed to heal. And I like to say it like this. We have an open cut and we put a Band-Aid on it when it really needs stitches. When we really need to go back and put some disinfectant in it, put some whatever you put into open wounds and stitch that sucker up, close it up so it can never be opened again. Because if you put a Band-Aid on it, it maybe will, but eventually you make the wrong move and it's going to what? Start bleeding all over again. And that's what we do sometimes in situations. Rather than us dealing with those hurts, we put Band-Aids on them. And then when something triggers us, that wound opens back up again. And now you're bleeding your emotions all over the place. So number one is unresolved hurts. We got to deal with those hurts. Number two is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is holding on to grudges and refusing to let them go. Now, unforgiveness to me, for me, is tricky. Because we can say with our mouth, I forgive you. And in our mind, we think we really meant it. But then again, there's a trigger, something was happened, and we put that whole situation comes back up again. Now, people will say this, I'll forgive you, but I'm not going to forget. Why are you holding on to it? Why don't you want to forget? Because as long as you're holding on to it, it's going to be there. Then it's going to show up again. So forgiving means to really just let it go. It happened. Can't go back and do a re-over. Life was not written in pencil. So we cannot erase the mistakes, the bad experiences of our past. So we have to start right here where we are today and just let it go, right? And it's not to let the person who hurt you off the hook, but it's for you, for me, to get out the hook myself. So I said the causes: unresolved hurt, unforgiveness, unmet expectations. That is feeling let down by people, circumstances that did not meet your hopes or standard. And I think that was a big one for me. And the funny thing about that one is I pride myself on saying, you know, you don't set expectation for other people, because when expectation and reality don't match, you have conflict. But if I pay for a service, then I expect for you to deliver on what I paid you for, right? And when that does not happen, especially when the people feel like they don't have to deliver, because sometimes our heads get a little bit too big and people feel like they don't have to deliver on what you paid for, then that is an unmet expectation. Your hope has been gone. Also for me, a lot of church hurt. A lot of things happen. And people will say, you need to move back from church. And they'll say, well, you go to work, you still go to work and you got hurt on your job. And for me, you're right. I do. Mm-hmm. However, the same people who in church work at my job too. You know, they go to work too. It's still the same people. People professing faith, living one thing and then doing something else. So the hope of people showing up to be who they say they are, and then they're not, that's what creates more bitterness. I just didn't know that it was bitterness when they're not living up to their own standards, when their life does not match their lips. I used to say the salt-shaking Christians with the flesh-like religions. We're saying one thing, but we're doing something else. And so for me, that caused some bitterness to build up in my heart that I am now working through. And so then comparisons, comparing oneself to others, leading to feelings of inadequacy or resentment. And sometimes when we compare ourselves, sometimes you compare yourself to people and you got yourself up here. The Bible says don't think too highly of yourself. But sometimes you compare yourself to people and you got yourself way too low. The answer for that, do you? Just be yourself. Can't ask no more for that. So as this woman of living faith, I'm just so grateful that I had an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord was saying to me. I'm so grateful that I began to do the work, the shadow work, so that I can show up in the world the way I want to show. Having shadows does not mean we act like our emotions are not there. They are there. But doing the work helps me not to hide it anymore, help me to embrace it. And now that I've had several opportunities to go from 0 to 100, since I started doing this shadow work, but since I've been doing it, immediately I notice what the trigger is, and I can now handle that situation from a different viewpoint. And that has been the best thing for me. But I'm so excited that I know the seed of my anger is bitterness. And now I'm working through all of my bitterness with the help of God. I've given you guys a couple of scriptures as I was going through here. And so this is Coach PBJ with this game called Life, a mindset makeover. And so the whole way I'm making over my mind is I'm choosing to look at my shadows differently. I'm choosing to see life differently. I'm choosing to embrace all of me, because with the shadow work, you have to chase it, you have to face it, and then you have to embrace it, because it's a natural part of who I am. Anger is a natural part of who I am. Bitterness is natural to get that way, but if we can't stay that way. So we have to do the work so that we can learn how to control it and become our true authentic self, so that we can show up in this world the way we were meant to show up. And that is as love, joy, peace, and happiness. That's who I am. So I will see you guys on the next episode of season 4, this game called Life. And again, our focus this month will be women of living faith. Stay tuned for the lineup. I'll share that shortly. Make it a great day. I am Coach BJ signing off. Bye-bye.
Absolutely, Paula.